Couple of you guys might have read this. I put it on Steve's website too. I'm going to read it because when I talk, I tend to forget the things that I have to say. So here we go. It says, even from the years prior to the Lord granting me repentance and salvation, I can see His hand guiding me to Him and protecting me from myself, among other things. From a young man, my mother kept me in the church system, and ever since I can remember, I've always believed in God and that Jesus Christ was His Son. I was told at a summer church camp in the sixth grade that I was saved because I believed in Jesus and nothing I could ever do would take me away from Him. The trouble was there was absolutely no repentance on my part. My grandpa was a Marine, the 4th Marine Division in World War II, and fought in places like Saipan, Eniwetok, and Iwo Jima. And since I loved and idolized my grandpa, I thought I should be just like him. So when he died, I was 8 years old, and that's when I decided I was going to be in the military. And from that time on, I was completely fanatical. I would go to the library and get old Civil War books and study pictures, photographs of entrenchments, soldiers' living conditions, and dead bodies. I had tons and tons of G.I. Joe toys, and I'd set them up in battle formations, just like the old book showed. Good guys set up according to blue arrows of advance, the static lines of defense, and the bad guys were set up according to the red ones. And I used that and learned a lot about tactics. And after the Civil War, I started graduating up through the conflicts to Vietnam. The Vietnam War really fascinated me. I think it was probably because while my mom had me in church when I was a kid, my dad had me in the world. Even at 9 years old, the movie Platoon came out, and that was my favorite movie in the entire world. My dad let me watch it without any real concern at all. But Platoon, Hamburger Hill, and Full Metal Jacket, and I was completely spellbound by war. Commando on Saturdays, I'd watch that movie with my brother, and we would go out recruiting all over the neighborhood in order to play guns. So I decided that I was going to join the Army, and I did that as soon as I could get out of high school. I couldn't understand really why all these guys were going in around me for the college money, and I didn't care about a bonus, for a sign-on bonus. I was a true blue patriot. I joined for a career in the infantry because it was all about my country. And after all, I figured that these great United States of America had given me everything that I'd ever had. And I know that's not true, but that's what I felt at the time. My first duty station was Fort Riley, Kansas, and I absolutely despised it because it was too close to home. It was mechanized, and it wasn't everything I wanted. And I started breaking the cardinal rule in the Army, which is don't volunteer for anything. So I volunteered for everything and tried to go anywhere that they would send me. And within about 5 months of being there, I got deployed to Bosnia. And the first time I ever took small arms fire from an enemy unit was in the town called Vlasnica. It was really kind of strange. A tracer round went over the back of the Humvee I was sitting on top of, and a tracer round went over the front of the Humvee. And it took me a couple hours to realize that there's probably 4 ball rounds in between those tracers. I could hear the snap of the bullets while they cut the air, and talked to an Army chaplain later on. And I came to the obvious conclusion that I'd been protected by God because I was a Christian. I had been since I was in the sixth grade. I deployed 3 times in my 6 years in the Army and kept volunteering for things I shouldn't have. I volunteered for the Pathfinder Company at Fort Campbell. I passed all the tests they threw at me, and I was ecstatic about that. And that would open the door to get me into all the things I'd ever wanted, like airborne school, ranger, Pathfinder. And I could use that to springboard into the long-range surveillance detachments. When I got back to the replacement battalion, I had orders to report to one of the line infantry brigades. And I figured I could fix that, so I went and talked to the sergeant major. But he wouldn't release me from that brigade. I was pretty upset. I was losing my dream was the way I felt about it. And I prayed about it and all kinds of stuff. But about 2 weeks after he told me I couldn't go to that unit, there was about 7 guys in that unit that I was trying to get into that were killed in the helicopter crash. So I don't know, maybe that was some divine intervention, huh? There were several more instances when I was spared death by God's intervention, but I won't go into all that stuff here. I take up way too much mic time. But all that stuff only really strengthened my belief that God was keeping me because I was His. And while I was smart enough to know that I could die, I was still believing myself to be immortal. And in reality, I wasn't doing anything more than holding the devil's hand and running straight toward hell. And I can honestly say that none of the experiences I had in the Army scared me at all about dying. I figured it was the most glorious thing you could do, and I was going to go to heaven anyway. You know, I remember sitting in churches all around the country, really, and listening to people talk about how they'd been saved out of a life of drugs and alcohol, and I was pretty stupid and naive, thinking, man, I really wish I had a great testimony like that. I was too blinded to the fact that I was a bloody and deceitful man, and Psalm says that God hates the bloody and deceitful man. But I was kind of reading what I wanted into the Bible anyway. In 1999, I kind of realized that I wasn't going to have the career in the Army that I wanted. And I went to a friend of mine's house, and I went to bed drunk. I was depressed. I was determined to make things better by getting into Ranger School when I got back to Fort Campbell. I'd gone home on a four-day weekend. I prayed that night, and this is probably one of the most clear things that I ever remember. I prayed myself to sleep that night, telling the Lord that I knew He existed, I believed in Christ, but even when I did pray, which wasn't very often, my words just kind of bounced around the ceiling and the walls and the floor and never went anywhere. And if God still looked at me, if He still paid any attention to me or thought about me, if I was even significant to Him, but I asked Him to show me that. I woke up about 3 hours later, completely sober, and I had 1 Thessalonians 3:2 in my head. It was just bouncing around inside the walls of my brain. So I found a Bible, and I sat down to read, and as I did, I felt this weight that was in the room, and I wish I could describe it better, but it was an enormous weight. And it wasn't just pushing me down, it covered every inch of me, inside and outside. It pressed me in, it pressed me out. I really feel like I'd have been pushed through the floor if I hadn't sat down, but I felt like I weighed about 3 tons. And as I read that, I really understood it. And I think for the first time I understood something in the Bible for what it was. And I believe 100% that was the presence of the Lord in that room. I've never experienced that before. In June of 2001, my wife and I, and we met at a Baptist church camp when we were 13 years old. We gave birth to a beautiful little girl who we named Aaliyah. And I didn't know this until later, or quite a while later. That name just popped into our head. But just a couple of weeks ago, really, we realized that Aaliyah, we found that Aaliyah means to go up or call to the Father. So it amazes me that the Lord was working in my life even when I wasn't walking with Him, and that He named our daughter. Even when He was the last thing on our minds. She died not long after she was born. And we fought with everything we had to keep her, but it was the Lord's call for us to come back to Him. And I think many other things. I've had asthma from childhood, but I learned to run through it when I was in the Army. And 3 days before I was scheduled to attend aerosol school, I hurt my knees, so I couldn't make the class. The knees bothered me ever since, but looking back, I see that the Lord gave me the asthma and smote me in the knees to draw me out of the Army. And as silly as it sounds, I really kind of praise the Lord that I've got bad knees. Leaving the Army, I applied for State Highway Patrol, several local police departments, and I did real well in the application. But it was always just short of getting hired. And I think that was the Lord's doing as well, to keep me out of a lifestyle that was going to keep me running down the road to hell. It turned out that a retired sergeant major from the same brigade of the 101st Airborne I'd just come out of was on a hiring committee for a railroad job that I just kind of fallen into. And that interview lasted 3 minutes, and I had a good job. For 3 years after getting out of the Army, my wife and I looked for a good church to attend. We grew up in a Baptist church, so that's what we went back to. And we finally found out one we figured we could agree with and began attending as regular as the railroad job would allow me to. I guess the end of this is just, I praise God that I've been in 16 different countries around the world, and I've sat and watched people, Muslims, pray and all these countries, and I've praised God that I'm born a Christian, that I wasn't like them. You know, true Pharisaical prayer. And it amazes me as I look back over my life, the things that have gone on that... Even when I was not walking with the Lord, He was the farthest thing from my mind. He was working to bring me to Him. And as I look back at that, I have to praise him for how merciful he is, because I mean, if I'd have had my way at that time, I'd have gone to hell. And I praise God that he sets the bounds for our habitation. I guess that's enough for now. I've taken up a whole lot of time, so thanks for giving me the mic, and bless everyone.
Amen. Well, thanks for sharing, High Dog. It's a good testimony. But I can relate to the fact that God keeping you while you're in sin, because I had several experiences in the world where I know God saved my life, particularly two times in a bar, when I know an angel had to have saved my life, I'd have been dead, you know. And if I'd have been dead at that point, I went to hell. So I certainly can relate to the fact that in unsaved condition, God's still keeping you till he gets you to salvation, because I've experienced that. I think many people have, actually. You didn't take up too much time. Don't worry, but that's fine. Thanks. Thanks for sharing, brother. That's a good testimony. I'm sure the Lord will keep leading you also. He's faithful. He is. Amen. He's a merciful God. He's very merciful. I've experienced it. I've seen it time and time again. Amen. Well, I'm glad you shared, brother. Thanks. Appreciate it. Anybody else? Yeah, we want to roll here, guys. Good. Okay, Kim. Sister Kim wants to give her a little testimony. You got the mic, sister.
Oh, good. I planned on writing something down, but then I didn't, so I'm just going to speak here. Several things have been running through my mind as I've been listening to all of you, and I just feel like I should share. I just remember a couple things asking. When I first went to a few Baptist churches, I remember reading the scripture about the elect. And I asked someone, who are the elect? Because, you know, like, when the president gets elected or an official gets elected, it's not everybody who gets elected. It's, you know, it's a certain, you know, just one person gets elected. And when I asked them who the elect were, they told me it was all Christians, that all Christians are the elect. So I accepted that because, you know, I didn't know anything at the time. And then I remember asking people, well, how come we can't talk to God directly like Moses did? And they told me, well, God doesn't do that anymore. And so I accepted that at the time as that being true, because they were the Christians and I was new, and I thought I was a Christian, but at the time I wasn't, and I didn't know, you know, I didn't know anything. So I just accepted that all Christians were the elect, and that you can't talk to God, and God doesn't talk to people anymore like he did, you know, face to face with Moses. And but then I met some people in Delta Junction, Alaska, and I can't remember the year now, but it was about 5 years ago. And I got one of Dan's books, and I read it, and it just seemed so real to me. And I was so excited, and for the first time in my life, I had seen other Christians and been around other Christians, but I was just so excited. I was telling someone I knew, I said, this is the real thing. These are real Christians, and I was just so excited. I can't explain why I was so excited. And I wasn't even saved at the time. And I just said, this is the truth, and these are real Christians. And I just knew in my heart that I had found true Christians. And it was just so wonderful. And then I got to know Dan and his mom and his dad and his wife and everybody. And they invited me to their home to fellowship with them. And I started fellowshipping with them. And at the time, I thought I was a Christian, but everything that I had ever experienced from the time I was a childhood was religion, and ended up being a religious spirit. And they ministered to me, and they told me about the true Jesus. And when I met the true Jesus, I was completely astonished, because the true Jesus is real. He's real. He's alive in heaven. He's real. It's not, you know, this other Jesus that people I can't explain it. It was just when I met the true Jesus, it was just wonderful. And but when I saw Jesus in them and how the Lord worked in their lives, I wanted that. But there were several obstacles, because I had problems with the religious spirit, and I was sinful. I had sinned my whole life. My heart was hard, and I knew what was wrong with me, and they told me, you know, what the Bible said, that you have to repent, and I knew I had to repent, but I couldn't feel sorry for my sin, and I couldn't understand why, and Daniel told me it's because your heart is hard. You know, you've been sinning your whole life, and your heart is hard, and you have to ask the Lord to soften your heart. So before I could even repent, I had to pray and ask the Lord to soften my heart so that I could feel my sin and so that I could know. I knew I was a sinner in my mind. I knew. But I didn't know in my heart. I couldn't feel it. And I could sit there and I could tell them, I know what you're saying is true. I believe what you're saying. I know the words are true. I know that what you're saying is true, but I can't feel it. And I knew that I wanted to be sorry and I wanted to be contrite for my sins, but I wasn't. And just from sinning my whole life and having such a hard heart, I knew that only God could help me. And after begging the Lord to soften my heart and wanting nothing else but Jesus, the real true Jesus, he softened my heart. And he delivered me from that religious spirit. And I got to a place to where I didn't want anything religious. I only wanted Jesus. And the Lord granted me repentance. And he is just a wonderful, merciful God. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Kim. That's a good testimony, sister. Kim has been through a lot. She's come a long, long way, people. And we're thankful for the Lord for her. The Lord can take anybody about any pit they're in, if they really want it enough. Okay. Amen. Thanks, Kim. God bless you. Anybody else? It's a good night to give the Lord the glory, people. The Lord is good. The Lord is merciful. He's pulled us all out of some kind of pit. Some deeper than others, some darker than others, but we've all been in some kind of pit. So there's a few more people here. If you feel to share, step right up. Brother Hugh was having a problem with his computer yesterday. He said he was going to try and be here tonight, but he might not be here because his modem went out, I think. He had a testimony, but maybe he didn't get his modem fixed yet. So, Sonny doesn't have a mic. Okay, that's all right. Well, I'll give you a few seconds here, just quiet. See if anybody feels led to try. Texas says, what about Mama? Oh, what about Mama? Yeah. Mama, do you want to give a testimony? Yeah, she said she'll say something. Hang on a second, guys.
Hi, everyone. Well, I guess I can say something. I've been testifying for 60 years. I'm 83, and I was a little over 24 when I accepted the Lord as my Savior. And when I was in the church, I never let the meeting go by when I didn't get up and praise the Lord and give Him glory. So I'm very used to testifying. I don't have anything particular on my heart, except I want to be faithful and give God the glory and thank Him for everything that He's brought me through. There's been many, many trials in my life, and God has helped me to overcome everyone. Oh, it's just wonderful. I could write a book. I guess some of us could all write a book of the things that God has lifted us out of and taken us through and brought us in. But I was saved at a tent meeting when I was about 24 years old. My husband and I were I guess like the gentleman said, that the Lord was drawing us to Him because we were feeling different things in our spirit. We were feeling different things, and we didn't know what we were feeling. And so we decided to go to this big tent meeting. It was Tommy Osborne had a big healing tent meeting. And when we went to this tent meeting, my husband, when he gave the altar call, my husband stood up, and I thought, oh, my, somebody around here surely knows us. But if he stood up, I guess I should. And then they said, well, we come down the aisle. And I thought, oh, my, he'll never do that, because there were hundreds of people there, and surely someone knew us. And I'm telling you, it's lasted ever since. But, you know, sometimes I hear people talk about the healing ministries. I know a lot of healing ministries ended up in false things. But there were some that were really of God, some that really were of God. People were healed. The night I got healed, a blind man, a black man was healed of blindness. And I can, to this day, if I close my eyes, see him walking up and down that aisle with his hands up in the air, praising the Lord, saying, glory to God, I was blind and now I can see. Glory to God, I was blind and now I can see. So I do know, I get a little uptight when someone says that none of these healing ministries were of God, because I know that they were, some of them were really of God. People got healed, people got saved, and it was lasting. So anyhow, but as I walked on with God, the Lord called us out of the church and led us I did get the baptism of the Holy Spirit shortly after I was saved, and I received the gift of speaking in tongues. And of course, we left the Assembly of God Church because we didn't believe all their doctrine. We didn't really believe that the speaking in tongues was the evidence of being baptized, that it was just a gift. And so that's when we left the church and we started walking. We had a little home for quite a few years. We had meetings in our home, and God just led us on and led us into the Feast of Tabernacles. And that was the glorious part of our life, when God made real to us what it was to walk in the Feast of Tabernacles, to hear the message and to be part of the afflicting of the soul that would bring us in to the final victory in the Feast of Tabernacles. And that's what we've been walking in, I would say for many years we've been walking in tabernacles. And it's just a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. It brings you closer to God, and it helps you to understand God's plan for us. And the best is yet ahead. The best is yet to come. I'm looking forward to my new body. By this time, you know, the scripture says that that the outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day. And my body is perishing. So I am really looking forward to my new body. But it's a glorious thing to know that this body that's perishing each day, that it's going to be renewed one day. And it's going to be renewed according to how we live and allow God to work in our lives. And that's I'd like to encourage all of you to allow the Holy Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in your lives, because it's according to how we allow God to work in our lives that He's going to be able to give us more glory. He says these light afflictions are but for a moment and work a much greater weight of eternal glory. And as we allow the afflictions and allow the Holy Spirit to change us, this is the glory that we're going to have on Resurrection Day. And what a wonderful, wonderful day. Well, I talked enough. Thanks for listening. Shalom.
There you go. Now you got my mom's testimony. She has a good one. I tell you, she's a warrior. My mom's a spiritual warrior. Okay. Anybody else have a mic? Like to try it? Sissy, you got a mic. I know you got a mic to work. She don't want to try it? I shouldn't call on people. Sorry. That's all right. Oh, yep. Okay. A little prodding help there. Go ahead, Sissy.
I'm not a chicken. I'm praising the Lord tonight, in spite of everything that I'm dealing with. I've just the Lord saved me when I was a young girl, got away from the Lord. But by the time I was 22 and married and everything, and I had my son, the Lord was bringing me back to Himself. I wasn't going to any particular church. I grew up in an Assembly of God church. And it's kind of funny, because I was growing in the Lord in my little apartment in New York when a friend of ours came over one day, and he says, you know, Sue, you're not going to church. And so I says, oh, yeah, and I would battle with my husband, because he wasn't serving the Lord at the time, and he grew up in the church too. And so I told my husband, I says, you know, why don't you just drop me off at the church and on Sunday mornings while you're off doing your bowling and all that other stuff. And he consented to doing that, and started going back to the church. And it's interesting. Everything I was learning, I was learning on radio and just reading through Romans on my own and growing. And I, at that point, got, you know, churchianity, basically. But the Lord was with me, and I saw His hand on my life throughout my entire life since I was a little girl. I always had this hunger. It's like a desire for Him, for something more. I could go to the church, and it was like, what is it that, you know, I'm missing something here? And join the choir. And I see the kids jumping up and down with supposed joy. I don't know what they had, but I says, Lord, I want that, you know, whatever it is. And I can ramble on because I have nothing written down, but I can tell you that he's brought me out, and though he brought me out, I'm still finding that there's still a lot of that stuff in me, and I just discovered the same this very week, which is very humbling, and the Lord is pigeonholing me. I don't know how to explain it other than I told this to my husband, and I told him, I says, you know, I really think the Lord is pigeonholing me. He's putting me like in this little place where he wants me to look just to him, and I believe that's what he wants. He wants me to just think on him, and I can't look to man. I can't look to anyone for answers, you know. And you know, the brother from Texas, I got to tell you, I know exactly what you were going through to some degree. I feel like I'm in that place, sort of, but not really, because the Lord is making some things clear to me, and I thank you, Dan, because I think the Lord is using this ministry to help me in that area. I wish I could meet with you all personally. I didn't realize you all live so close to Harrisburg. My brother lives in York. That's where I used to live, and there aren't any brothers or sisters out here that are of like mind, except in this room. So it's a lonely place, but I think the Lord wants me there right now, and I know He's with me, and I know He'll see me through. And Annabelle, you're a blessing. I thank the Lord for your testimony, and I know that I can depend on the prayers of my brothers and sisters here tonight to help me in this, because I really feel alone sometimes. But I'm not alone, because the Lord said He would never leave us nor forsake us, and I trust Him. Anyway, He's brought me this far. Surely He will not leave me, and He'll take me on. And my desire is to grow in perfection. But that is humbling. It really is a humbling experience, and I praise God for it, because that's my desire. I was listening to Zach Poonen today. He was teaching on a couple of things that pertain to basically, you know, dying to self, that sort of thing. But one of the things that he said really struck home. Primarily that, you know, beyond just dying to ourselves, it's the life of repentance, basically. And the moment that the Lord sheds light on you, I mean, we think that, for example, I'm rambling now, and I apologize for that, but it had to do with pride. And bottom line, I guess, is that, you know, we go through these things, we think everything is okay, but the Lord is putting His finger on some things, and we need to be able to just let that go to Him. I mean, just lay it down. He's not going to let up on us until we do. So that's where I am right now. I just, He's bringing me through. Man will disappoint us, and we're not to look to man. That's one of the main things. We're to look to Christ and Christ alone. And no, He's not going to do it all for us. That's another lie that I bought into for a time. And it was a song that was called Jesus Paid It All, All to Him I Owe. And it's an amazing thing to me. You know, He expects us to do our part. It doesn't mean that it's the work of the flesh or anything like that. It's not that. We have a part to play in this. And I never thought that. I really used to think that He would take care of everything. But, you know, we're not wet noodles. We don't sit on a couch and expect the Lord to take care of every single thing for us. You know, it's like anything else. And we have that part to play. And so I'm discovering that even more every single day. You know, it's laying my life down daily, taking up my cross and following Him. And, you know, there'll be storms, and there are some storms in my life, and things come up against me, and I know that. But I know the enemy is out to kill and to destroy God's people. But by the grace of God and His strength and the strength of the Holy Ghost living in me, because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world, I know we'll all overcome. God bless you guys, and thanks for allowing me to share.
Amen. Thanks for sharing, Sissy. Everybody in this room, you're going to keep Sister Sissy in prayer, right, this week? All right? Keep her lifted up in prayer, that the Lord brings her into everything he has for her, and she overcomes everything that's coming against her. I know so many people use their testimony to witness, and that's fine, but I think the Lord used our testimonies to strengthen each other in the body of Christ. Amen. He says it helps to know that we're not alone in the things we endure. That's it. That's right. Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I'm glad y'all were talking. You're glad you guys are sharing tonight. That's great. I thought, I'm going to get on here. Nobody's going to take the mic. That's right, Irma. No, I'm a realist, which sometimes is confused with a pessimist.